Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Matthew 11, 28 reads this way. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege again of gathering together as your people in your house. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray and ask for your blessing, your mercy and grace, the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, that you might be lifted up and exalted in our lives, and Lord, in our family and throughout the world, that you might be glorified and souls changed for your honor and glory through salvation, and then, Lord, by the grace of God, to be a witness and a testimony for you. Bless the service tonight and the prayer time to follow, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is Entering into the Lord's Rest. Doesn't that sound good? Entering into the Lord's Rest. And entering into the rest of God requires, first of all, a relationship with the Lord. The lost cannot enter into that rest without salvation. They can, as long as they know, come to know the Lord as their Savior. But then for God's people, salvation is the prerequisite, but it's not the only thing that's needed. The second ingredient for the believer is a desire to enter into his rest and to glorify him. Some of God's people may not have a desire out of just not knowing that there's a rest to enter into. They may not understand the grace of God and the mercy of God. And I think really every believer experiences that. We get the first taste of the grace of God through salvation and the free pardon of sin. And that changes us forever. But then there's a change that God wants to bring into our everyday lives that we need to be made aware of. So tonight we'll just consider two main thoughts. And the first thought are three truths that we must understand if we're going to enter into the Lord's rest. And then the second thought is, what is required if we are to enter into the Lord's rest? So two thoughts, three truths that we have to understand. And I want to back up by way of context, if you will, and by way of introduction into our text. I just want to read through these verses. John the Baptist was imprisoned at this time, and the Lord was questioning them what they went out to see. And he said that he was more than a prophet. He was blessed above all men that were born of women, a lot of good things about John the Baptist. But then in verse 16, he says this. He says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation?" And this is important now, because we want to see where the Lord is coming from before we understand and see the grace and the mercy of God. God was setting down some truths here that needed to be understood. There were people that were of the right lineage, of the right stock, but they did not have the right relationship with the Lord. And the Lord was concerned about this because he talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees hindering the way of those that would enter in. He said, "You're not entering in, and you're keeping those that would from entering in." So the Lord has a right to be very concerned, because what happens is, this is the natural tendency, the humanistic tendency, is for us to evaluate God with a list of rules and laws that those that are proclaiming them are not even willing to keep. The Lord said, "You're not even willing to lift up your little finger to keep these things, and you're keeping those from entering in." So now he wants to liken, really, the people that are caught up in religion and not the mercy of God, the people who have forgotten the grace of God. Notice, and by the way, to remind each and every one of us, even in this day and age, not to fall into this trap. Notice verse 16, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, 'We have piped unto you and you have not danced. You didn't respond the way that we thought you should have responded. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. You're not doing what we think you should be doing.'" And then he says this, he begins to explain it. "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil." Isn't that something? So here's the people that are listening, the people of this generation. They see John the Baptist, and what do they say? Jesus said, he has a devil, because he's not eating or drinking. I mean, my goodness, you would have thought that would have been a noble thing, right? To be fasting and be in prayer for the honor and glory of God. Then notice this. Look at verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, just like you wanted, right? And notice, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. So the Lord culminated that statement saying, listen, wisdom, if you understand the book of Proverbs, is crying out in the cities for those who would listen, for those who would follow the truth. And not the way of man's thinking, but God. Then notice he says here in verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities which were most, I'm sorry, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So now he's correcting. He says this in verse 20, woe unto thee, verse 21, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Wait, notice this. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Man, that's pretty powerful. He's saying, listen, this generation is wicked in their thinking and in their thoughts towards God. Because they said, well, look how John the Baptist come. He didn't do it right. And then Jesus came doing exactly what they said he should be doing. And they said, guess what about the Lord? Well, he's not doing it right either. So who has set up themselves to be their own gods? Who has set up that generation has turned away? And really what you find is confusion. Then notice this, verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Did you hear that? Is that powerful? If they were blessed with what you have seen, what did they see? The Son of God. If they had seen the Son of God, they would have repented, but you didn't repent. You hardened your heart. And then notice, but I say unto you, verse 24, that it shall be more tolerable for that land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And listen, a lot of preachers, and I agree, there's different levels of punishment. It would have been more tolerable. It would have been better for this. They're both condemned, but it would have been better for this one to not do this, that, or the other and not be in the same plight or same situation. I think there's more accountability. But by the way, listen, any way you slice it, hell is hell. It's bad. It's all bad. But listen, God doesn't want us there, and he wants us to understand how to enter into his rest. And then he begins to show us now with that understanding. There has to be a desire. We have to be willing. Jesus was reasoning with them. He was saying, look what you said about John the Baptist. You said because he wasn't eating or drinking, he has a devil. Then look at the Lord. The Lord comes eating and drinking, and you say he's a gluttonous man. He's a sinful man. He just hangs out with publicans. Well, the Lord explained why. Sinners and publicans, because they need a physician. But those that think they're so high and mighty in themselves, they don't see the need for the grace of God. So what is it that makes the difference, really, in the understanding and in the relationship between the individual and God Almighty is a desire, is an understanding that I need the Lord. The Lord doesn't need me. Don't we sometimes live that way or think that way? Man, ready? Have you ever heard this said? And if you said it, I don't remember if anybody here said this. So, oh boy, man, if they would be saved, man, could God really use them? You know, like there's, you know what? Not a single Paul would tell us all, we are nothing but ministers. We're just servants of the Lord, and we get to look into the. Now that's our tendency, and I will tell you this: I may have not said it, but I surely did think it. I've thought it before. You see somebody, especially when you see somebody that's so dedicated to the wrong faith, to there's only one faith, but to the wrong religion, and you say, my goodness, man, they're so committed that if they got saved, they'd be committed to the right cause, to the truth, and what a blessing they would be. But really, listen, the only reason why any one of us are a blessing to anybody is the grace of God. And that's what God wants us to understand. Now, here's how to enter into the Lord's rest. we have to see three important truths. And first of all, there has to be a desire for the work of God to be done into our lives. He never intended us to carry the weight of trying to honor the Lord in our strength or to glorify the Lord in our own power. God's not honored in that. I'll say it again. God's not honored in that. That doesn't glorify him because we put might and more effort and we think we're accomplishing something for the Lord. You know what's really amazing? When we can look back and say, I didn't have anything to do with that other than God maybe working through me. I've had the privilege of leading people to the Lord that they were low fruit, as someone said. they were ripe and ready to be picked. I had nothing but they were ready. You know what I'm saying? They were just opened up to the gospel and they said, yes, I need to be saved. And they were saved and they're ready to get baptized and they get into the Lord and they love the Lord and they're walking with God and you're watching that and you're going, I had nothing to do with that. That was all the grace of God. All I was just simply an instrument. And then years ago, I used to hear people, how many of you won to the Lord? Well, we can't, I don't know if we can really win them to the Lord. God has to convict them. I'm not faulting that phrase. I'm not saying it's a wrong phrase. I'm just thinking we need to be more aligned with what the Word of God is saying in our outlook towards God. We need the Lord personally to experience His presence in our life, and His guidance is what He wants. So that's how we experience really the Lord's rest, when we sense Him working through us. I don't know if you've ever sensed that. All of a sudden, the thoughts and the words and everything just kind of falls in line the way that the Lord wants them to, and we find people being convicted and converted God's way, not by something that we have done. You can force somebody to be saved. Not really. You can convince them that they're saved, and they're not. You can tell them, well, you did say a prayer, didn't you? So you're saved. Was that how you would want to walk through this side? I think, well, they told me I'm saved, so I must be saved. Or how about this? I know I'm saved because I've trusted the Lord as my personal Savior, and He intervened and gave me the free pardon of sin. So let's look at these things very quickly. Three truths that we must understand if we're to enter into the Lord's rest. And again, remember, the first thing that needs to be required is a desire to glorify the Lord and to realize that He will do that in and through us for His honor and glory. Look with me at verse 25. And the first thing is that we have to understand is that the revelation is given by God and it's hidden from the wise and revealed to babes. Here in verse 25, notice, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things, plural, from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And so he's saying, listen, remember, he says, not many noble enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's because in our own pride, what happens is we don't think we need God. I can wing this life all by myself. Have at it. Have at it and tell me how it ends up for you when you stand before him winging it all by yourself. That'll be a scary place. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. If that's how you want to enter into eternal life, winging it on your own. I got this. Oh, we don't have it, do we? If God doesn't have it for us, we're going to wind up failing the Lord at the very least. And that's not the place you want to be as a child of God. And by the way, and not settling for failure. Because God doesn't make failures, does he? He doesn't. He made you and I, as children of God, heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a joint heir. If you're saved tonight, you're a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice this here. He says, first of all, realize that these things are hidden from the prideful, really, from those who are proud. Then secondly, I want you to see that God said it was good. And so verse 26 says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. To do this, to allow it this way, to only look to those who are humbled and who realize they need God. And so the next thought is here that the Son is a revealer of this revelation. Look at verse 27. All things are delivered unto me, this is Jesus speaking, of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Now watch this. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We need a revelation from the Lord to know the Lord in a great way. And by the way, He's talking to the saved. He gave a warning to those, to the religious people who rejected the truth. He said, listen, it'll be better for Sodom in that day than for you. Had they received what you got, the Son of God, hey, listen, they would have repented. They'd still remain till this time. But they didn't do that. So now he's turning over, really. These people, and I want you to see the mercy of God. He's talking to those who have rejected the Lord, and now he's also talking to those who would follow him. He's wanting us to know how to enter into his rest. So you've got the disciples there, and you've got other people that want to hear the truth. And he's saying this. He said, listen, I want you to understand something, first of all, that the wise people that are prudent in their own hearts and minds, God has hid it from them. They're not going to find it without being humbled before the Lord. And then he says, it was good in the Father's sight to do this. And then he says this. He says, in verse 27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We have a birthright, but we still need to ask God for the revelation. We still have to. So let me ask you this question that you don't answer out loud, right? That you just for yourself. Are you entered into the Lord's rest, or do you feel like you're carrying a heavy burden in your walk with the Lord? And now here's the thing too. You might feel like you go in and out. You're into that rest, you experience some of that rest, and then all of a sudden you pick up the burden. At least we're aware of the battle when we're experiencing that. I know I'm resting. I know there's a time when I'm asking God and I'm experiencing God, and I'm brought to the place of praise and worship to my God. When I can walk through the day and sense the presence of God and stop and say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your peace. Thank you, God, for your joy. Now, it can be interrupted. It is in my life. It's interrupted. Just the way it is. And you know what? I have to look at myself and say, okay, am I resting in God, or am I trying to pick it back up again? Right? Am I trying to say, okay, and here's the problem. And I don't know if really it's a problem. It isn't. And let me explain here. We want to do something for God because we love him. But we need to be so careful not to do it in our own strength. That would be such an important prayer to bring before the Lord. Lord, I need you, and I don't want to be dependent upon myself to do the right thing. I want you to do it in me and through me. Didn't Jesus say, abide in me as I abide in the Father, and ye abide in me? And he says, we're going to make our abode in you. And then we're going to manifest ourselves to you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So wouldn't it behoove the believer to say, yes, God, I want you to manifest. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to walk in you and you in me. I want to experience what you're talking about, this easy burden, this rest that you want me to walk into. Don't quit just because it's not. And don't give up. Don't say, oh, well, listen, you know, I just can't do it. Well, the good news is God doesn't want us to do it. The good news is God wants to do it for us. So first of all, ask God to get that thought out of our heads, right? I battle it too. And here's the thing. Lord, I don't want to look to myself to glorify you. I don't want to make the effort, because listen, that frustrates a lot of Christians, and then they grow weary of the things of God because they're missing God. They grow weary of what God can and wants to do because they're missing the Lord working in their lives, and God wants to do this work. All right, now let's look at the last thought here. And remember again that these truths, this relationship is hidden from the wise and revealed to babes. It was good in the Father's sight, and the Son is the revealer of this relationship and this rest that he wants his children to have. Now, what is required if we are to enter into the Lord's rest? Well, let's look at verse 28, and we're going to find it's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. First of all, the Lord says, what? Come unto me, who? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Can't we say, yeah, that's me? Man, I tell you, because, and why is that happening? Why is that happening? Because God has given to us his grace, and yet we feel like we got this 100-pound backpack sometimes on our backs. And that is, listen, why is God saying that to believers? Because he knows we're experiencing this. He's giving us this information because we don't know this. So If your relationship is weighing you down with the Lord, how hard is it weighing you down? Well, don't answer this. When was the last time you prayed? And I you know, you're here in God's house, and I believe you. But how faithful or how much do you need the Word of God every day in your life to read it? So if you're failing the Lord in seeking Him through His Word and through prayer, you're carrying the wrong weight. If that's a burden to you, and you're not, it's a refreshment. It is a joy in our own imperfection. Listen, and sometimes you hear this. Well, I would serve the Lord, but so and so offended me. Well, all right, we're in the wrong place in a relationship with the Lord, because so and so didn't die for you. Christ, our Savior, did. And so your relationship, believe it or not, let me this is a revelation here. Your relationship with God, your successfulness with God, your deliverance in God between you and the Lord has nothing to do with anybody else but you and your God. That's it. Nobody else has anything to do with your relationship but you, ultimately, and your Savior. Now, is it good to build up the brethren and the believers? Absolutely. Is it good to be kind and loving one to another? Absolutely. But you know what? If there's a brother or sister in Christ that is not kind and not loving to me, does that mean I'm going to give up on my Savior? Does that mean I'm going to be unfaithful to the one who died for me? My focus is way off. If that's the case, if I'm not going to read the Bible, if I'm not going to pray because of what somebody else has done, I'm missing God in a very big way. So God is wanting to really get intimate with you and I. God is wanting to get personal now. See, I say this a lot because it's where it begins. It's not just salvation, not belittling salvation. That's where it all begins. But God doesn't want to just save us. He wants us to thrive and to do more works than He did. Didn't we read that here just a little while ago, last week? And so God wants us to realize that we're going to be able to do more than what He did, because He went to the Father and He's giving us the Holy Spirit, the power supply to do these things. That, by the way, how would you like to electrify your house with a generator that you've got like on a treadmill? Or would you just like to have that power just put into your house like it is, and you turn a switch and there it goes? And that's the difference in believers. We're either trying to generate our own energy, and it's going to be very exhausting and very uncomfortable and of little fruit, or we can just, God, I want to tap into you. I want you in me, and I want to be in you, and I want you to fulfill your will in and through my life. All right, so it's a step of faith, and we need to understand that the load that God wants us to carry, He wants to carry for us. It's not our load. He wants to fulfill the work that only He can do for us, not us. So He says, come unto me, verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, who will give us this rest? Who said? He said, and I will give you rest. Listen to this. Come unto me. That's the step of faith. That's a calling, by the way. He says, come unto me. And stop thinking about everybody else that's bothered you, you know, or everything that's bothered you. And by faith, it's a step of faith. He says, come unto me. Come, go to Him. We can even complicate that. We're good at that. Well, that means I got to get up at 3 a.m. and come to and call on the Lord. Who said that? Who said that? Well, okay, 5:00. I got to come. I got at 5:00 a.m. Why? See, we put these little stipulations, and God says, listen, God says, come unto me. That could be right here, right now. God, I'm coming to you. I want this relationship that you're showing me. He's the revealer of the relationship. I want this relationship that you're telling me about here that you'll do for me. I want that. And that's the step of faith. He doesn't want, you know, we analyze it. We want to diagram it, and we want to dissect it, and we want to do all, and God says, okay, go. When you're ready, come to me. When you're done doing all that, you know, running on that on the little gerbil cage there and racking your brains out and thinking you're getting intellectual on me, and then when you're ready to let me work for you, then come. And I'm going to show you some things when you call on me that you don't even know about that will literally amaze you and awe you and make God awesome. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. I'll give you a confidence. I'll give you a peace that the world cannot give to you. That's rest. Just because you don't have any problems in life right now doesn't mean that you're resting in the Lord. Doesn't mean that you're resting in the grace of God. Doesn't mean that you're experiencing. You know, there's a lot of people that can cross the T's and dot the I's, and they're not resting, believers, and they're not resting in the Lord. Because there's a peace and a joy, listen, that the world can't give, that only God can. And that's what God wants us to experience, to where we are awed by it. And then we can give God thanks. Do you think Paul was just a crazy religious fanatic? What made him so persevering? It was the strength of God. He would tell you, I am what I am by the grace of God. And what he meant by that is the grace of God followed me everywhere he sent me. And he provided for me. But you know what? Listen, he was able to let go of what if we're not careful, we live to the wrong set of standards, not God's standards. We think if we're right with God, there's some people that preach this, if we're right with God, you won't have any trials in your life. Is that in the Bible? No, but God will be with us in those trials. I mean, look at the three Hebrew children. Boy, they were godly people, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. It was their end. But what happened? God was right there with them in the fire, and nothing happened to them, not even the smoke. You know what's about smoke. You get anywhere near smoke, your clothes are going to smell like smoke. And why did God pen that down? Because he knew that. And God wants us to enjoy a relationship with him to where we're not even tinged with the scent of this world. If we'll trust him for it. The three Hebrew children trusted him and not King Nebuchadnezzar. Be it known unto thee, O king, whether the Lord delivers us or not out of the fire, we're not going to bend, is what they said. Okay, man, he couldn't see straight. He was so mad, he threw them in with his mighty soldiers, and they died. But not the three Hebrew children. And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar was rubbing his eyes and said, didn't we throw three in there? How come I see four? Listen, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. That came out of a heathen mouth. Why? Because God was at work at those three Hebrew children. Do you think those three Hebrew children were something amazing? No, they were filled with the grace of God. Is why they were able to do that. We get to look at them like, whoa, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whew, they're something. No, they would tell you it's our God. Daniel, why did he have the gumption after he knew the verdict of praying to God that he was going to be thrown in the den of lions? Why did he still do it? Because of his God. You know, we weigh things out sometimes. We ought to be bold because of our God. But God wants us to experience him first in the little things, in the everyday things. So when the big things do come, we'll be bold. Listen, it's not going to happen like all of a sudden, miraculously. If we're not experiencing God in the everyday little things, what makes you think that we're really going to experience, other than the fact of God's mercy? He does intervene on our behalf. But that's not the way that God wants us to walk with him, just when the big things happen. I mean, he'll be faithful, even when we're not. I believe that. But God wants us to walk in confidence in his grace. How often? Didn't we sing a song that said, I need thee every hour? So God wants us to experience that hour by hour. And then lastly, notice this. So he says, again, the invitation and the call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And that's us. And I will give you rest. And don't stop until you get that rest. Don't say, well, this must be all that I get. Oh, no, no. There's a rest that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt is coming from the Lord. Seek that rest. God promised it to you. Don't downplay the rest of God. It's real. It's real. And let him give it to you. Notice this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's how we do it. That's through the word of God. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's our Savior's promise to us, if we'll seek it. And then notice this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is God so descriptive about this rest? Because he wants us to know when we have it. Let me ask you a question. Did you have an aha moment when you got saved? Do you think his rest is any less than that? It's greater. It's more of God. It's more of entering into the wow moment. The world cannot do that for us. Now, why are Christians missing out on that tonight? It's a simple little word called unbelief. Is it not? We've stopped believing what God has said. So if we want it, we need to say, oh God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help me to go further in my relationship. Help me to see you more in my life. I want you in me, and I want to be in you. I want to experience this oneness. Lord, I'm looking to you because when you're near to me, temptations lose their power. Temptations, when God is near, temptations lose their power. Think of that truth. Listen, God has told us that if we'll turn from our sins and turn to him, he will bless us. And here's the truth. Ready? I need God to turn away from temptation. I need him. Am I going to go ahead now and do that in my own strength? Am I going to try to do that now in my own strength? When God says, I'm going to provide for you. So tonight, the Lord wants you and I to enter into his rest. And he gives us an invitation. And we must be like that, the widow woman knocking on the door of the unjust judge and saying, oh, listen, I've got a need, God. I've got a need. And listen, the Lord says, though he bear long with them, yet he will answer them speedily. It will be a fast answer. Just by faith, ask God and then seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promises that you bring to our understanding. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Northwood Baptist Church with the faith to seek you and to call upon you personally and to experience you the way that you want us to, individually as individual believers and heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then collectively as a church. Bless the rest of the service tonight, and we'll praise you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.